You're listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Church Stockton. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
So our reading this morning is taken from Proverbs 3, verses 21 through 26. And just in light of this beautiful family that we're part of, not only intergenerationally, but also just interculturally, and as we look forward to an eternity of worshiping together with our family in every nation, in every language, I'll be reading first in English and then in French this morning. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Mon fils, que ces enseignements ne soient pas de tes yeux. Garde la sagesse et la réflexion. Elles seront la vie de ton âme et l'ornement de ton cou. Alors tu marcheras avec assurance dans ton chemin et ton pied ne sera pas. Si tu te couches, tu seras sans crainte, et quand tu seras couché, ton sommeil sera doux. Ne redoute ni une terreur soudaine, ni une attaque de la part des méchants, car l'Éternel sera ton assurance, et il préservera ton pied de toute embûche. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, it is good to stand before you again this morning. I'm Pastor Allen. I am one of the pastors here on staff. I'm the pastor over Community Life. And again, it is good to be with you this morning. Mark Dever, a pastor in Washington, D.C., in a sermon on the Proverbs, said this: a godly ambition is to live this life in full preparation of the next. A godly ambition is to live this life in full preparation of the next. In other words, he said, a godly pursuit or a holy pursuit is to live faithfully now with the end in mind. To live faithfully now with the end in mind. And his point in saying this in a sermon on the Proverbs was that to live this way requires great wisdom. In order to live this way, in order to live faithfully now with the end in mind, it takes great wisdom. It requires wisdom in order to live this way. In a fallen world full of choices, wisdom helps us to navigate the complexity of decision-making thoughtfully. Wisdom helps us to think clearly and carefully about how to steward our lives well as we go about life under the sun. And I mean that both figuratively and spiritually. Every day we make hundreds of decisions, and each one of those decisions carries with it its own set of consequences, right? Some great, some small, but every decision we make has consequences. And although each decision we make may not be moral in nature, meaning that it may not be a judgment between right and wrong, every decision that we make does require wisdom. Every decision we make will require wisdom. From everything, from what you want to eat, to what you watch, to where you go, to where you work, to who you date, it all requires wisdom. Every decision requires wisdom. I remember growing up in high school, every day after school, we would hit up the local 7-Eleven, and we would grab a big bag of Doritos. Not the small bag, not the 99-cent bag. We'd grab the big bag of Doritos. And we walk over to the nacho station, and we would put nacho, chili, and cheese in the bag with the Doritos, shake it up, and we'd be on our way. Now, you may think, and you may be inclined to think that that is a moral decision, and it probably has a moral, it probably is moral in some way, but the reality is if I was thinking wisely, I wouldn't have did that, because it didn't fit me well to do that now in my 40s. You understand what I'm saying? It didn't help me now, right? So a little decision like that may not have immediate consequences, but the long-term consequences they mean something. And so we need wisdom in order to make right decisions. Every decision we make requires wisdom. Proverbs are mostly short statements founded upon long experience containing truth. I just want to lay a foundation here as we move forward. Proverbs are short statements founded upon long experience containing truth. Proverbs are built on living wisdom aimed at shaping the inexperienced and immature to live a godly and fruitful life. Remember, Solomon and others are talking to their sons. He's talking to his son, his children, and he's trying to help them to live a godly life. And so God wants us to live a godly life as his children. It is not just for the young. The Proverbs are not just for the young. They're for every Christian. They're for every person who wants to live a faithful and godly life. They are meant to help God's covenant people grow up in faith and live fruitfully in his care, avoiding folly and destruction that can detour our lives. Proverbs are like street signs that warn you of impending danger. If precautions are taken, wisdom embraced, which is to embrace Proverbs, one will avoid danger, maintaining a steady course toward the desired destination. Right? This is the point of Proverbs, to help us live faithfully in the now as we navigate towards our future destination. This is the point of Proverbs, to help us live faithfully now, to help us live wise lives now, faithfully before God as we move forward to our future destination. Real quickly, let me just ask you to pray for me. My eyes, I can't, there's something going on with my eyes, so I'm not able to see as clear. And so I need you to just pray for me this morning, okay? But Proverbs are meant to help us live faithful now as we navigate towards our future destination. And as we faithfully navigate towards our future destination, embracing wisdom will reap immediate blessings in our lives. Right? As we move forward and move towards life with Christ in eternity, wisdom will play a part in how we live now, and we'll reap benefits as we follow along, as we wisely walk in the world. We'll reap benefits now. And this is the focus of our message today. In our text this morning, Solomon is laying out the beauty and the blessing that comes from embracing God's wisdom. This is what Solomon is talking about, the beauty and the blessing that comes with embracing the wisdom of God. Solomon is declaring to us what life is to look like for those who fully entrust themselves now to living in the wisdom of God. This is what life could look like. He's communicating the practical blessings of embracing true biblical wisdom. Quite simply, Solomon is talking about putting on wisdom and wearing it well. This is what Solomon is talking about. Putting on wisdom, getting wisdom, putting it on and wearing it well, right? And there are three or four things that Solomon gives us out of this text. I'm going to give them to you up front. I'll mention them again. But these are just words that are going to serve as headers this morning. A life of wisdom will be a life of beauty. That's number one. Be a life of beauty. A life of wisdom will be boldness. Will come boldness. We live wisely. We live bold lives. We'll also live a life of peace, and we'll live a life of security. So beauty, boldness, peace, and security. Amen? So when we embrace wisdom and we live wisely, our lives will be beautiful, bold, peace, and we will be secure. You guys with me? All right, and looking at verse 21, Solomon flows from admonition to motivation. He flows from what to do, and then he tells us why we ought to do it. The admonition is, Solomon says here, keep before you sound wisdom and discretion. Keep before you sound wisdom and discretion, right? Wisdom being right application of knowledge. Discretion is knowing how and when to use it. These are kind of the same. These are on the same side of there are different sides of the same coin, right? Wisdom may be knowing what to say. Discretion is knowing when to say it, right? Just because you know the answer may not be the time to answer that question. Do you get what I'm saying, right? So discretion helps us to judge wisely in how we apply the wisdom that we have. And Solomon says, keep these things before you. Keep sound wisdom and discretion before you. He says, keep them before your eyes. Keep a watchful eye over them. Don't lose sight of sound wisdom and discretion. He says, pay full attention to them. The idea here is not that wisdom is elusive. The idea here is not that wisdom is like something that slips through your hands. It's not like holding sand. That's not what Solomon is getting at. The idea here is that we are prone to wander. We are prone to wander, especially in our youth. We are prone to wander away. And he's saying, listen, don't wander away from wisdom. Don't get distracted. Keep your focus, keep your eye on wisdom. Because if you don't, you will get distracted. When I'm driving, my wife doesn't like me to look to the left or to the right. Because if I look to the left, my hand starts to go where I'm looking, and the car goes where I'm looking, right? And so she wants me to keep my eyes focused and keep my eyes peeled. And this is essentially what Solomon is saying here. Solomon is saying here, don't take your eyes off of wisdom. The writer understands this. What has the attention of your eyes guides your lives. So what Solomon is saying, what has the attention of your eyes guides your lives. Whatever you are looking at, you're going to chase after. And he's saying, listen, what you should be chasing after, what you should be seeking, this is the point of Proverbs, you should be seeking wisdom. Keep your eyes on wisdom and understanding. The ancients believed that if you keep your eyes, you will keep your soul. Right? The eyes are the window of the soul. If you keep your eyes, whatever you're watching will feed your soul, and therefore you need to watch what you watch. And essentially, this is kind of what Solomon is saying, is watch what you watch. There's a lot of things out there that are going to pull for your attention. There's a lot of things out there that you can seek. There are a lot of different types of wisdom out there. But this is the wisdom that you ought to be paying attention to. This is the wisdom that you ought to be seeking after. So his admonition is for us to keep our eyes focused on wisdom, lest we wander and crash. Okay? Lest we wander and crash. Lest we keep from making a mistake that can cost us more than we want to pay. Right? We've all done things in our lives that we are ashamed of. Am I the only one? We've all made some horrible decisions that could have been avoided with wisdom. If we would have kept our eyes on the prize that's ahead of us. And this is what Solomon is saying. My son, my child, keep your eyes on wisdom. Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't take your eyes off of wisdom. Don't let it wander out of your sight. Don't look to the left or to the right. Keep your eyes on wisdom. Now, this wisdom that Solomon has in mind here is connected to verse 19 and 20. It is not a regular type of wisdom, right? In 19 and 20, the writer talks about creation, the wisdom that God used in creation. And this wisdom is not a wisdom that's found in boardrooms or in textbooks, but a wisdom that's from above. It is a wisdom that comes from God. It's God's knowledge and God's understanding. It's what the book of Proverbs says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It is the knowledge that God possesses, that God gives to his creatures in order to direct their daily lives. It is a divine wisdom. Wisdom is seeing into the nature of things and responding accordingly. It is a divine wisdom that comes from God. Solomon says, keep this wisdom. Keep this wisdom. This wisdom that guided the universe, the creative, transformative wisdom, the wisdom that transforms you. Keep this wisdom before you. Why, he says. Here's the motivation. Because it will grace your entire life, both inside and out. Wisdom will grace your life, both inside and out. In verse 22, he says this, they, wisdom and discretion, godly wisdom and the right application of it, he says, they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Wisdom will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. In Hebrew, the word for soul is actually throat. On the inside, and as Solomon mentions, neck, which is on the outside, and he's kind of bringing these two things together, and he's saying wisdom will not only feed your inner life, but it'll also feed your outer life. Wisdom will keep you, keep your soul. Wisdom will become your life. It will help you and navigate. It will give you rest. And we'll talk about all of the things that wisdom gives, but it'll also beautify you on the outside. It will adorn you. It'll be like jewelry around your neck. In other words, it'll make your life one of beauty. Wisdom will make your life one of beauty. The idea here is that when true wisdom is fully embraced, as Solomon is talking about, when true wisdom is fully embraced, it will adorn one's entire life, both inside and out. Wisdom, when worn well, will grace one's life like beautiful jewelry graces the neck of the one who wears it. Wisdom will grace one's neck, or will grace one's life like a necklace graces the one who wears it. The idea here is this. A son or a daughter who is already in the beauty of God, who already has the beauty of God, God's face is already shining upon them. They're already in covenant relationship with God already. Wisdom worn well will bring out that beauty even more. In other words, wisdom will accentuate your life. It will add to your life. It will accent it. It will underscore it. It will make your life attractive. Wisdom will enhance and enrich the life of the one who possesses it and wears it. You guys get me here. Wisdom will accompany you. Wisdom will beautify your life. Proverbs 4, 8, and 9 says this. Price her highly, talking about wisdom, and she will exalt thee. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. The wisdom will enhance and enrich the life of the one who possesses it and wears it well. Life will be increasingly like that of our Lord, right? In Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus, our Lord, had no beauty that we should desire him. Talking about his physical stature. Yet people were drew to Jesus. Jesus had drawn people to himself because his beauty was of a different substance. See, wisdom worn well will witness to the glory of God upon your life. Wisdom will attract people to you. Wisdom will give you honor in a way that self-promotion cannot. Wisdom will beautify your life. It'll well order your life. Being 40-something, I'm early 40s, in case you haven't noticed. I know I look about 18. I'm just playing. I hope I do. But now more than anything, in all honesty, when I look back over my life, man, I much rather desire a well-ordered life. Just a well-lived life, a faithful life, honoring God, loving Jesus, avoiding folly, which is sin in the book of Proverbs, a faithful life, a beautiful, well-organized life. Not just disciplined. I want to have a disciplined life, but an intentional life, right? And this is what Solomon is talking about. What wisdom will do, it will make your life beautiful. You will walk a life that is attractive both to others and for yourself. Right? When your words will be seasoned with grace and they'll turn wrath away, when you respond in circumstances that usually would be angry, but you respond in a loving way, people will ask and inquire about the God that you serve. It will be a witness to how God has glorified himself in you, through you. Wearing wisdom well will beautify one's life. Secondly, wisdom will not only cause you to have a life of beauty, it will also give you a life of boldness. It will create in you a life of boldness, not belligerence, but boldness. Solomon says this in verse 23, then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. When you embrace wisdom, you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. Faithfully embracing wisdom and wearing it well will make us bold as we walk along the way. We will walk securely and not stumble. Wisdom will create confidence. It will create confidence. Not a selfish confidence, but it'll create confidence in you. How many of you guys have heard of a sport called roller derby? Okay, a few, right? Well, my father participated in professional roller derby for years. He traveled the world playing roller derby. And if you don't know what roller derby is, Google it. But roller derby is like wrestling on skates. That's probably the best way I can explain it. It's basically two teams that are battling for points as they race around a track. And the object is to knock the others off skates and all of that type stuff. And like wrestling, roller derby is not real. Although it does require skill, it's theatrical, right? And so my dad had to learn how to do this well without getting injured. Okay, so he had to take all of these courses of how to fall and how to do all of these things without hurting himself, right? Because it's athletic, but at the same time, you want to put on a good show. So one of the things that my dad was taught was how to fall without getting injured. So I remember one day we were in the park, and I was just enamored with my dad and his roller derby. We were in the park, and I said, "Dad, teach me how to fall." And we're in the middle of the park, and we're doing these somersaults. We're tumbling, and my dad is teaching me how to fall and somersault without getting hurt. And I'm thankful for that lesson. But the greater life lesson is this, not how to fall. The greater life lesson is how not to fall. That's the greater lesson, right? The greater lesson is not how to fall without getting hurt. The greater lesson is how not to fall at all. See, this is what Solomon is teaching us. Solomon is teaching us how not to fall. How not to fall to the obstacles that clip us in this world. According to the text, the result of keeping sound wisdom will produce in us a confidence that will keep us from falling. Wisdom will make us resourceful. See, that word discretion, sound wisdom and discretion, it carries with it a connotation of being resourceful, meaning that you will recognize evil and you won't succumb to it. You will be resourceful that when the way of escape appears that God gives, you will embrace it. You will take it. You will walk in it. Keeping us from stumbling over life's obstacles. The idea is this, having or wearing wisdom will enable you to navigate life in such a way that you maintain your footing even in the face of opposition. Even in the face of opposition, you'll be able to walk fruitfully. Psalms 27 says this. This is David speaking. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me and eat up my flesh, my adversary and my foes, it is they who will stumble and fall. Not me. It is they who will stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arises against me, yet I will be confident. See, David was confident, but he wasn't confident in himself. He was confident in the Lord. This is not a confidence in your own ability. This is a confident trust in God, who is the Lord and the light of salvation. When we trust in God, when we put on wisdom, trusting in the words and the ways of God, we will stand firm, sure-footed, with a confident trust in the Lord who is able to deliver. See, this is what it means to walk boldly. It doesn't mean that you can just stand in the face of everything in your own might. It means that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, God will deliver you. It doesn't even mean in that moment there may not feel like deliverance. You may still have to endure whatever it is, but ultimately God will deliver you. Right? When we look at Jesus, who is facing great difficulty, right, and even gave his life for us, right? The enemy was pressing against him. He gives his life for us, and it could seem like he wasn't, but God delivered him. He delivered him in his death. He was raised from the grave for life. See, we can face opposition knowing that God will secure us, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can keep us, that we trust in God. He is the light of our salvation. Thirdly, not only will we have a life of beauty and a life of boldness, but we will also have a life of peace. We will have a life of peace. Verse 24 says this, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. How many of you guys know this? The worst sleep is the anxious or fearful sleep. That's the worst sleep, is when you're anxious and you're fearful. When I was younger, again, I remember I wasn't a well-behaved child. And whenever I used to get in trouble, my mom would say those famous words of, wait till your dad gets home. And so she would send me upstairs to take a nap. And it was the worst sleep ever, because I knew that my dad was going to come home, and at some point we're going to have some intense fellowship. He and I were going to talk a little bit. But it was the worst sleep ever. It was far from sweet, right? Have you ever been in a difficult time in your life? And perhaps you're there now, where your life is just difficult, right? Where it feels like you can't get any rest. And when you lay your head down, sleep escapes you, that your soul is in suspense. You just can't find any rest. The point here is this. It's not that divine wisdom is a sleep remedy, like you won't have insomnia. The point is that when you have the wisdom of God, you will have the peace of God. When you have the wisdom of God, you will have the peace of God. You will be able to lie down and to rest, even though there's turmoil going on around you. Even though the circumstances haven't changed, your heart has been changed. You can face those circumstances with peace. You don't live a life of anxiety because you've learned to trust in the wisdom and the words of God. Even in the most difficult times of life, we can find rest and surrender in the wisdom, the person of Christ. This verse is a picture of someone trusting the Lord. This reminds me of Mark 4, when when the disciples are traveling with Jesus on the boat, and a great storm comes about. In Mark 4, a great storm happens, and the wind and the waves start crashing against the boat. And if you know the story, the disciples are afraid. They're scared out of their wits. They're fearful. And they run to Jesus, who is asleep at the front of the boat. He's asleep in the front of the boat, and they say, Jesus, don't you care that we are dying? Don't you care that we are perishing, right? Now, this passage teaches us some very important things about the divinity of Christ, right? Teaches us a lot about the nature of Christ and his divinity, right? That he has the power to control nature and even the wind or the sea. It's all at his control, right? He calms the wind by rebuking it, stops it, stops the storm. But it also teaches us about Jesus' humanity and his deep trust in his Father. Right? That in the midst of the storm, he was able to have peace and even sleep. Jesus was asleep on the ship. He knew his Father cared about him. He knew that he was okay. See, even in the midst of the deepest opposition, like Jesus, we can trust that God has us. We can trust, even in a storm, that we can have peace, even though the circumstances around us aren't very peaceful. You can live a life of peace when we embrace wisdom, the wisdom of God. Psalm 4:8 says this, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. See, we can lie down and have peace and sleep when we trust in God. See, wisdom worn well, wisdom applied, gives us a sense and a hope of knowing that God has us. That we are his and he is ours, and we can rest in his hands. Lastly, wearing wisdom well will not only give you a life of beauty and of boldness and of peace, but it'll also entail security. It will also entail security. Verse 25 says, do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Solomon here, there's a kind of a bookend that's happening here, right? He begins in verse 21. He says, keep wisdom. Keep wisdom. And in the end, he says, God will keep you. The idea is that as we keep wisdom, as we embrace wisdom, God will keep us. As we are keeping, we are being kept. God is keeping us while we are keeping wisdom. And interestingly, Solomon says here, when it comes. He says, when it comes, it's not a matter of if opposition comes. It's not a matter of if opposition comes, but when opposition comes. The word here for ruin literally means storms. Within the Christian life, there are going to be storms. We are sure to face opposition. The promise of the Christian life is not a trouble-free life, that we will live without opposition and difficulty, that storms will not come, and that the enemy will not pursue us, as it says in this passage. The promise of the Christian life is that when troubles come, when we face opposition, when storms rise, we can stand secure. That is the promise of the Christian life, that we can stand secure even when everything around us is falling apart. It's not that we won't face opposition. It's that we can stand secure when we are facing opposition. We can stand on the truth and the promises of God when we are facing opposition. This is David's point in Psalm 23. And he says this, even though he's walking through the darkest parts of his life, right? He's walking through the valley, what he calls the valley of the shadow of death. He is walking through this and he is deeply aware that he is being shepherded and kept as he walks through it. He is looking at what's in front of him, this darkness, right? He's looking at what's in front of him, this troubling time. And at the same time, he is declaring that he is being kept by God. God is comforting him and keeping him secure. He doesn't have to fear evil, even though he's in the face of evil. He didn't have to fear opposition, even though he's in the face of opposition. He didn't have to fear wickedness, even though he's in the face of wickedness, because God was keeping him and shepherding him. Solomon's point here is when you put on the wisdom of God and confidently walk in the wisdom of God, you don't have to be afraid when troubles come. You don't have to be afraid when opposition appears. You don't have to be afraid when storms are raging, because the Lord will be our confidence. He will keep us safe and secure. God will hold us, mold us. He will keep us even in the face of opposition. Now, in closing, this is important. In closing, we must keep before us that when reading and applying the Proverbs, that ultimately true wisdom is found in Jesus. Okay? True wisdom is found in Jesus. The scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians that Jesus is the wisdom of God. When the Proverbs talk about wisdom, it finds its fulfillment in Christ. Jesus himself said that something greater is coming. He's referring to himself. He says something greater than Solomon and all his wisdom and splendor. Jesus is the fulfillment of that wisdom. He is the true wisdom of God. He is the personification of wisdom that we put on. He is the greater silver and gold. He is worthy of any jewelry we possess. He is the wisdom we desire, right? So to put on wisdom and wear it well ultimately means clinging to Christ as the true wisdom of God. This is what it means to put on wisdom and wear it well. When we are putting on wisdom, we are putting on Christ, hoping and trusting in him by faith. One commentator says this about this passage. He says this: to hold on to sound wisdom, which is what Solomon is talking about here, is to hold on to faith in Christ, the true wisdom and insight that comes from God alone. Clinging to wisdom is clinging to Christ. The wisdom from above is Jesus. In the New Testament, wearing wisdom well means putting on Christ and keeping him on. This is what Romans 13:14 says. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on Christ, the true wisdom of God, and God keeps us in Christ. And when we do, we will manifest his attractive qualities. All the qualities that we just got through talking about, peace, security, all the qualities that we just got through talking about are ultimately find their rest in Jesus. He displays these perfectly. And in him, we live through him these things. Ultimately, they flow from him, and we can have these things as we live and walk faithfully in him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.